Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you really given him full control? Have you? Are you sure? Are you sure he's in control? Completely sure? Hallelujah. If he's fully in control, then you are in two things. You are in things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You may be seated. Some of you is 10% in control. Others is something in between. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you were not born to be ordinary. Amen? You, I'm speaking specifically to you, were not born to be ordinary. That doesn't mean there are no people who are born to be ordinary. There are so many who are born to be ordinary. But you are not one of them. Praise the Lord. I know that because like attracts like. I also wasn't born to be what? So the fact that you're here means you are not born to be. Now you see, the thing is, there are so many people who actually are born and they can breeze through life, have a job, look after children and grandchildren and die. That's the story of their life. Eh? But we'll have yeko. Eh? Like, and they don't really have any imprint whatsoever on their generation. And they are born, and sometimes they actually meant to be like that. And they come and they live very ordinary, mundane lives, and they just breeze through and go. And that's it. If he finds a good job here, if he finds he can survive here better, if he finds he can, you know, something nice, he will settle there. He goes somewhere, finds pasture, he settles. Amen? Eh. Now then the others, of course, who you not, the Lord will not allow you to settle somewhere just because there is pasture. Because he's taking you to something great. And some of you, when I say this, there is a witness in you that you're one of them. Eh? While you might look like you're very ordinary to other people, but there is a witness in you that actually you are not supposed to be ordinary. I remember the first time I went to America with a colleague of mine. And he arrived there. He had a six-month multiple travel visa. I had a two-year multiple travel visa. So we reached there. The guy reached and met some people, and somehow they told him, you know, there is pasture here. So he came back quickly to Uganda and basically cut off everything and went to the pastures in America. Now, I looked around and there is nothing in the world that could make me stay there, because that would be signing to being ordinary. And even then, I was just a sports journalist. But there was something inside me telling me, you are not supposed to be ordinary. You understand? There was no evidence outwardly. But I knew I cannot just go and stay in America, then go and register at a work bureau. Then they give you some work and you start earning minimum wage. Maybe I would be somewhere now, I don't know how many kilos heavy, after eating so many burgers and so on. But I knew I cannot. I knew I cannot. So I came back. And he came back and quickly went back. I came back and I knew that's a place I can only visit because my greatness does not lie there. Amen? So and then other, and then you see that you, when you look at him, recently he called me and told me, hey, how are you? And you know, after so many years, he's there. He showed me pictures of his children and his family, and he's happy being ordinary. Praise the Lord. Yeah, like he's happy. But if I had done that, I would be miserable. Because I was not meant to be, you understand? But for him, it's comfortable, comfortable. He called me for a very long period of time. We chatted. We used to work even together, you know? And he was a very good man. And I won't even tell you the story I told you about him. You remember the guy of movies, That's the guy. Now, he's happy. Very happy. Now I know there are people here who, if you even dared do that, like that would be, you'd be miserable the rest of your life. Because there is a witness inside you that this is not who you are supposed to be. There is something greater that God is calling you into. Praise the Lord. And now, but you see, you have to allow God to do what? To lead you to that greatness. Because the first steps are not that big. They are just separating you, let's say, from people who your group, you know, people whom you're around, who you've come to, you know, associate with, and people know you, and every evening they are looking for you there and what, and just simple things like that. And then God starts kind of pulling you away from that crowd. And at the beginning, you just sense that you used to be happy among these people, and the jokes were flowing and so on. But when God, the Spirit of God starts moving inside you, suddenly you feel uncomfortable in their presence. And now if you heed to him, some people resist for so long. But now if you heed to him, you will pull away a bit. And then he will kind of isolate you from the other people. And usually around the way, he will bring you into another group of people. Now if you dared go back to the other people, suddenly you realize that, how did I ever be with these people and I was comfortable? But please understand, nothing has got to have changed on the outside. It's all changing on the inside. But it's a precursor for what is going to change on the outside. But suddenly you go outside and you say, no, there is no way I could have been with these people and I was comfortable. But you actually, you were. Then you come to another place and it's almost like isolation. And I've sensed that, and the moving away from the other side. You see, you have a witness in you that there is certain greatness somewhere lacking inside you. But for it to happen, it has to happen as the Spirit of God leads you. And the first thing you take you away is from certain crowds, because they cannot handle your greatness. And they are going to be an impediment, because as long as you are with them, you want to think and be like them. And the Lord is saying, no, like, it just happens that you know, suddenly they are a bit detached, and they might even think you've become strange, and in reality you've become strange, but that is part of a journey to the greatness that you felt all along, but now that the Spirit of God is leading you into. Then after that, perhaps even that group goes away and goes away, until ultimately you become completely estranged to them. And now you start pursuing something completely different. And they can never, never understand you. No matter how much they try, because what you have, they don't have. So that now now the thing is this. If you want to pursue this journey, the Lord will lead you step by step, and kind of isolate you. It's part of the journey. Isolate you, make you feel like you have no friends, and so on. But it's all good. Then, you know, on Wednesday, the Lord was telling me something about Wednesday night, about this anointing that distinguishes people and makes you stand out, that you cannot be part of a crowd. And you can no longer be part of a crowd, even if you actually wanted to be. Even if you sneaked into a place quietly, you cannot be part of a crowd, because there's something which distinguishes you, and it has been placed in you. And to the extent that you actually submit to it, it continues to distinguish you and distinguish you. Of course, there is the option of fighting it until the Lord says, okay, you be ordinary, because you have the right to be. And then he said, this anointing, it is the Lord who, having done these things in you, as some of you he has already done, where you seem to be a loner, you're always alone walking and so on, and before you were a friendly person, and everybody, like, you know, liked you and so on, but somehow you're a bit of a loner now, and people don't understand, but the Spirit of God is doing something inside you. Then, when he has finished doing it, there will be an opportunity for him to unleash you, still sometimes starting at, you know, small things. And you know, you have to understand that you have the right to not be, distinguished. The anointing that distinguishes and makes an ordinary person not be ordinary. And then he was also telling me that now you are going to see people being distinguished in different places. Eh? And I'm talking about you people, because he was telling me this to tell you, not to tell somebody else. Eh? Like, ordinary, then you are no longer ordinary. You walk into a job and there are so many people, but somehow you stand out. Let's say, you know these jobs where they say we need 30 people, and you apply, and you go among 30, and somehow within a short time you're on the top of it. Somehow, you find that everybody seems to be looking up to you, and you know, some of you, these things have been working in your life, but you didn't know at small levels, but you didn't know what was happening. Okay? But it happens, and there is nobody who cannot have a witness here that it happens. That I just went somewhere and, you know, I was looking for employment, and I got a job. But within a short time, okay, let me tell you this. One day in my life, I was totally at a crossroads. I'm talking about long ago, like more than 25 years ago. Okay? Totally at crossroads. I had no job. I had nothing. I used to stay in a Kazigo in Kamocha and eat at the same takeaway every day, the same food. But I was okay. Like, I wasn't complaining about food. And it was either chapati with beans or chapati with peas. Okay? And coffee, nguvu coffee. Eh? And then you put what? Would even buy sugar in spoons. Eh? Forget kilos. Eh? There was a price for 2 spoons of sugar. And I'm not, you know it. Eh? No, you don't know. No, Roger doesn't know. For him, his joke is only for age. But they are, okay, then now things have changed a bit. You people think, people say, what? Economy. There was a time you couldn't even spell the word. For you, what you wanted was sugar and what? So anyway, somehow somebody just comes and tells me, you used to be a good writer. Do you want to join the media? I say, I have no training in the media. He says, come, I'll go and introduce you to somebody. I go to the media. The first day, I speak to some guy who used to work there. Recently, I was with him on a television channel, and he was calling me Mr. President. But now, that time I went to him asking for what? Yes. And he told me, here in the media, we don't give jobs. If you can write, you write, and we see if you can write. I said, write. That's my middle name. So, he said, write about anything. So I wrote a number of things and I took them to him. But the first thing I wrote, the thing that he published in the next newspaper, was sports. So he told me that, why don't you write sports? Because of course I was interested, I'd been following. He said, why don't you write sports? I said, okay, if that's what you've chosen, I'll write that. So I started becoming a sports writer. But within a short time, there was an association of sports people, sports writers called USPA, Uganda Sports Press Association. Within a very short time of becoming a sports journalist like that, I was the president of USPA. And then, there is, okay, you don't know why, you don't know what is happening, you don't know how it happens, but somehow you find that you started writing, you wrote, then you go somewhere, someone said, hey, you're the guy who writes for, I see your articles. And so my point is, everybody here, there is something which you've seen that there is a like you know that something started small and somehow you seem to be identified more than others. Eh? And you either accept it or you deny it. But then that's just a small level of, you know, of it all. Eh? Because there are so many other steps that happen as we go ahead. But let me show you, let's read some scripture here. Lest it look like I came to tell stories. Eh? Judges 10:17. Now it says, then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpeh. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Go to chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gilead, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Then Jephthah and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, you shall not have inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman, the son of a harlot. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Now, it says he was a mighty man of valor, but cast out, thrown out, discarded because of being a son of a harlot. So even leaves the place and goes and hides somewhere, where nobody knows him. So he's cast out and he's thrown there, and nobody remembers him. Until the Lord sets up a scenario where Ammon comes and everybody remembers, we threw away somebody, but he's the man who actually can bring us to victory. So, it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. Go ahead. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Israel went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob, where he had hidden. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? Now, distress is just an opportunity for God to unveil somebody who he has wanted to unveil. Praise the Lord. Now, you are going to see distress, and the answer is you. And you are the one who people need, because some distress has been created. So he said, why have you come to me now when there is distress? Of course, he knows why they have come to him, because they are scared to go and fight the Ammonites, and he's the one who can do it. He's the one who is anointed to do it, but he's setting them up to give him to fulfill all his conditions. So go ahead. Then he says, and the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your president? Eh? You understand? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be our witness between us if we do not do according to your words. Praise the Lord. But I want you to note something. At the beginning there it says he ran away, and people, worthless men, followed him. Amen? Who followed him? worthless men. What makes, why do they call them worthless? These are people who society has cast out. People who, they, you know, what are you doing? You're a vagabond. You're basically doing nothing with your life. Have you had those people say, what are you doing with your life? Eh? Because he has some kind of job somewhere and he feels important. Then he asks, what are you doing with your life? And those ones, you just tell him, it's my life. That's the only, you know, thing that matters. Eh? So I do not have to, unless, of course, but some of them are parents, so you can't answer them like that. You have to be a bit, But let me tell you, I can't count the number of times when my mother asked me, she cannot ask it like that. But somehow like that. What's happening? We don't see anything happening. And it's a very tough question, by the way, when apparently nothing is happening. But yet actually, a lot is happening. You are like Jephthah in the land of Tob. Some distress is about to make you head. And the people who chased you away come and call you to make you head. The very people who chased you saying you're a son of a harlot come and say, okay, we've agreed. If you come and lead us now, you'll be our what? Our head. So, worthless men. Now, you first go to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. Start from verse 1. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt. Now these are the worthless what? Everyone who was discontented gathered to him so that he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Now I want you to see that David, not born to be ordinary. So even when he runs away from Saul and says, now I want to run away and what? Because there are still some worthless men who say, this is our guy. Praise the Lord. Now I can tell you this, that every worthless man is just waiting for the person God anointed to lead them to actually step away from fear and start his thing. There are some worthless men who are waiting for you to start your business. And they will not be worthless. Because these worthless men who followed David eventually became a mighty army for Israel. People who were in debt, you know, discord, you know, society rejects. They were only worthless because David hadn't stepped out. And when David steps out, they cease to be worthless. He gives them worth because he's the one who God has invested in their leadership. So now there's people who will be out there and they are worthless. Because you are still stuck in fear and you cannot start what God has told you to start. And you are making people worthless who are supposed to have worth. Because their worth is in you. Amen? Now even the other guy, Jephthah, worthless people went with him. But they went around raiding. Now when they came to take him to go and fight the Ammonites, guess who were his commanders? The worthless men. And when he was ruling over Gilead, guess who he was ruling with? The worthless men. So they were only worthless because they are not yet found their leader. But when they find their leader, they are not worthless. They get their worth. Now the thing is, if you are chosen to be extraordinary and you choose to be ordinary, there are so many people behind you whom you're making worthless. And you have to answer for them on the day of judgment. And God says you were the one, all those people were waiting for you just to start. Just start, and God would bring them. Somehow they become attached to you, and then they come, and then they talk to you, and they are saying, tell us what to do. We are here to serve you. And then suddenly from worthless, they become people of worth. That is if you acknowledge that you are not ordinary, and you are not meant to be ordinary, you were not born to be ordinary. There is no way you can be here. And you are born to be ordinary. There are ordinary people out there. And there will be, you know. But you can't be one of them. So now you're thinking you have nothing. Maybe you're running away from something or some landlord and so on. And then some people, you know. So when you step out, there are people who, every time, there are people who step out with you. And those are the people, they cannot go with anybody else because they are waiting for their person. Now, all these people who went with Jephthah, all of them, they are waiting for Jephthah. So when Jephthah is there in Gilead, they are there. When he runs away, they run with him. When they come for him, they go with him. They are with him. Praise the Lord. So now, the question is, can you actually really, really, really believe God to take you to your level of greatness? Or are you going to try to be ordinary? You know, there are some people who... Now, I'll tell you this. When the anointing, this anointing, takes you past the ordinary stage, even if you try to become ordinary, you cannot be. Amen? And you know, sometimes people say, but man, I just want to lead my life. I'm tired of this, you know. I mean no trouble. I just want to leave me alone. Let me. Nobody's going to leave you alone. Because this anointing sets you on a hill. And Jesus said a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now when a city is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden both from its friends and its what? Enemies. But it cannot be hidden. So now, the anointing that distinguishes you, unfortunately, does not just bring friends and followers. It brings so many enemies along with it. Amen? It brings so many enemies along with the friends. Now, if you're the kind of person who fears to be criticized, man, can you imagine they criticized me and so on? You become ordinary. And you were born to be extraordinary. I remember... you remember the first owner 2017? Eh? Now, that's when I realized that, man, I cannot be ordinary. Because there were 2,000 people in that tent. All of them went and honored the prophet. But ask who is the one who everybody... Now, I wasn't even the first. You understand? I was not even the first. Like other people went before me. Then I went like about the 6th or 7th. Then there was a cameraman there. Hey, for Observer newspaper, waiting for me. As soon as I assume, the guy hammered the thing. Then they even had the courtesy of calling me and telling me that, is it okay, can we run the picture? I said, run it. I didn't know what was coming after that. Not that I would have changed my mind, but I had no idea what was coming. Now, of all the 2,000 people who went to honor prophet, everybody, up to 5 years later, I post something on social media, you shulika, eh? But the shulika, the people who are not shulikas are broke, and they are not going to be president. You understand? Now, that's when I realized that, man, you're set on a hill, you cannot be hidden. Somehow, then the criticism. I remember some guy who called and said, but you people, man, do you know how much I've respected you all your life? How can you do this? And then I looked at the guy. You want to feel sorry for him? But then you're like, man, put yourself together. It was my lips. And you told me to share. You understand? What's your problem? But you see, somebody... Now, you realize a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, man. Now, the picture that went all around everything, newspapers are calling you, radios, how could you? How can you? Eh? We used to think you are an intelligent man. But don't worry, now they know I'm intelligent. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, something like that, then you realize, eh. But also that thing was... That was the time I realized that I don't care about the world and its opinions. Eh? I completely died to the opinions of the world because I was looking at people and I'm looking at them and saying, man, who has a share in my lips? The only two people who could quarrel, the owner of the shoe and the owner of the lips. Everybody else, your opinion does not matter. Praise the Lord. And as far as I'm concerned, none of the two was what? Was complaining. Praise the Lord. So that is something that you realize. Now, there are people who used to, you know, when we started this end time teaching, there are people who used to send their tithe, their money, what, from abroad. After that, they all stopped. But then the money we collect increased. You know, there are some people who think when they stop giving you money, you will stop getting money. You're lying. Hey, you're lying. I will get whether you like it or not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and that's when I realized, so something can be everybody. So me, in my mind before that, I was just one of 2,000 people. But the anointing that distinguishes said, no, you're not. You cannot be among. You're the symbol of it. Now, so many of you here kissed the shoe, but nobody knows. Praise the Lord. Hey, now that's when I realized that I don't care what the world thinks, because I know that I know what happened in the run-up to that. I was having a conversation with the Spirit of God. So I realized I don't care. Now, actually, I moved from one place to another. To another where now the Spirit of God is my promoter. Okay? There is nothing in the world that I am interested in or that I can, you know. Praise the Lord. So, so when you're set on a hill, don't think, or when you're distinguished, do not think that you can choose, now I want to go and be an ordinary person. You can't. Amen? I cannot, right now, I cannot go and be an ordinary person. And of course, there are times when I want to be. But I cannot, you understand? Like, you will go somewhere and then you see people looking at you. Praise the Lord. For instance, if Athanasius here went to governor, nobody knows. But let Kableta go to governor. You will see the news. Not I'm saying that he's ordinary. No, you know, of course he knows he's not. Praise the Lord. But my point is, if I tried to be like, man, what's, you know, or governor, I'm giving even an extreme example because I don't expect, but anywhere else, imagine I just went somewhere downtown to eat food. You know that food where nyongera ko soup, marewe etoke. Then afterwards, nyongere toke, mareo soup. Now, if you go there, you realize that something passed. You cannot go back. You are something. You can't. And now you can't go back. And you see, there are people, even in the scripture. You go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21:10. Start from there. And David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now here, David is trying to, he goes, you remember when he went to the showbread and what, now Saul is looking for him all over the place. So he goes, and you know when you're tired, you were anointed. Then you went to, King Saul calls for you so that you play for him the flute and the spirit leaves him. And the guy just gets a spear and tries to spear you. Then you go here, there is trouble. You go here, there is trouble. You go here. It's like trouble is pursuing you everywhere you go. So then he decides that let me go to a place where nobody knows me. So he goes to the king of Gath. And then he arrives there. Verse 11. It says, and the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David the king of the land? The guy is not a king. He's running away from the king. But they are calling him the king of the land because he has already been. Now, somebody, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in the dances, saying Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands? Now, you are in a place where you don't even know these people had. Where did they hear this song from? I'm supposed to be running away where nobody knows me. But they say, isn't this not the guy? They were saying Saul slay a thousand. And for him, he has slain 10,000. Now you realize you're in trouble. Go ahead. And then he says, now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. In other words, so this guy is not me. Then he go ahead. Then, so he changed his behavior before them and pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors, you know, of the gate and let saliva fall down his beard. Because now he's trying to be ordinary, but he's being sought out. So now he has to act like he's a madman. Otherwise, they were going to get some. They were going to get him. So let saliva fall on his beard. Go ahead. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought me this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Now you see, he saves himself by playing mad. As soon as he realized they had dismissed him as mad, he stood up and ran away. But you see the anointing now which distinguished him, distinguishes him for good and for bad. It cannot be just for good. You, the criticism, every time you stand up there, I'm telling you, every time you try to do something that nobody thought you could do, try to step out of your thing, and you will see the number of people who will come to you with very critical words, which look like words of concern. So you mean you've also, you know, you've also done, okay, but you know, be careful, you know, and they come to just pull you down. And then the criticism, then what? Now you know you're a city set on a hill. Your friends and your enemies are what? Are seeing you alike. It's not just your friends. Now when people say anointing that distinguishes, at the beginning you said amen, because you expect that you are going to be there and everybody is going to like you. Who told you? It will attract as much, and now I know it attracts enemies. People whom you never thought. If you want to know who your friends are, you just try, attempt doing something big that is beyond you, maybe which God has even been impressing on you. Stand out and attempt to do it. You will see how many people will come. Then when they come, you know that the anointing that distinguishes is upon you. When enemies come, know that the anointing that distinguishes is what? Is upon you. When people flood on you for no reason, they seem to hate you. That's just the way it is. Then you know that you're now distinguished. That same anointing that brings enemies is going to lift you to the top. Praise the Lord. And now what they are fighting is the top. What they are fighting is you getting to what? To the top. So they will fight you. And then they will, because they see you in a certain way. These Philistines, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. You think they were going to congratulate him? No, they were not. But then he was among them. Remember, this is after they were going to fight Saul. Just previously they were going to fight Saul. And David was hiding among them. And even volunteered to go and fight with them. And then the lords of the Philistines said among themselves that this guy is running away from Saul. If he comes with us, what if we get to the battlefront and he actually defects and goes back to Saul? And then he redeems himself to his master by foxing us. So they said, we cannot trust you. So they cast you away. Then they cast you away, then you go. Then you go to Ziklag, and there you find Moab Zivu. Some guys came and raided the camp and took all your property and your wives. Then you cry. Then you go and rescue them. Then what? Then suddenly, the next thing, that same battle that they cast you away from is the battle that kills Saul, and the next thing, they are bringing you the throne. But then, those guys who said that they can't trust you, then they hear that, so David has become king. They said, no, we cannot let this happen. So they gather themselves to come and fight against him. That's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. Big things you do are going to attract enemies. From nowhere. This anointing, and that's the reason some people actually are scared of it. Because they want it to only bring good things. It does not. It brings a lot of criticism. It brings enemies. It brings misunderstanding. I remember after that, there's a friend of mine whom I've known for so many years, almost for 25 years. All the world was in the media. Some lady. So now, and she's this, the archetypical ordinary person. You know somebody whom you just look at them and know they are born to be what? But she's my friend. So now after I'd taken long without seeing her until that owner of 2017. Then she sent me a message and said, man, I think I just have to accept that controversy follows you everywhere you go. Now, that is the price of greatness. Controversy. You cannot be, everybody understands you, you know. How? Who told you? You have, there will be people who just will not. That's, and now that shows that God is with you. Amen? When the Philistines attack, you just know God is with you. As soon as they heard that David is king, what? This guy who was here, this guy who we even chased the other day, now is king. Then all the Philistines gathered to come and fight David. Now that's just, you have to understand, that is the world that we live in. Praise the Lord. Amen? But you have a choice of being ordinary and understood. You know, everybody understands you. Nobody. Man, muntu wabantu. You be there, muntu wabantu. On the day of judgment, God will tell you there were so many worthless men who remained worthless because you decided to be ordinary. Muntu wawansi. Like, so many people who remained worthless because you were meant to be their leader and you decided to also be like them. I want to be like them, you know. Don't see me any different. What? You know? You know those things, eh? And then you lose. And it is so easy. It's so easy when the Lord promotes you and you choose to be, you know, eh? And then you lose that promotion. You lose it. By the way, you lose it. Because you have to appreciate that God has promoted you to a certain point. Then when people see you differently, and even start seeing you, responding to you differently, don't try to say, ah, also you. So, Shasha, now why are you talking like that? I'm the same Kableta. No, you are not. Amen? You are not. And if you really try to be the same person, you lose it. And somewhere else will get it. Because God doesn't want you to be the same person. Praise the Lord. Because he has lifted you up. He has promoted you to a point. And now you have to acknowledge the place of your promotion. And he will give you time to acknowledge it. So suddenly the people who are your friends come and are making appointments to see you. Previously they did not do that. And when they come, they kwe kunganya. You understand? They organize themselves to talk to you. Then you say, ah, sure. Eric, also you mean you don't, I'm the same guy. No, you've lost it. You dare say that. The promotion will vanish you and you'll become ordinary. Now, of course, there are also some people who try to force it. God has not promoted you. You're trying to also promote yourself. And I know people who are like that. They have like five people. One is holding their Bible and what? Then they show up, man. And it looks very fake. It looks very fake. When it is for somebody who God has put there, it looks okay. Praise the Lord. But when you're forging it, it actually looks very fake. And you look terrible. And then you start telling people, honor me. How can you talk to me like that? Honor me. Now somewhere there is somebody who is, people are honoring and is even becoming ashamed. But people are seeing something God has put in him. But for you say, can you honor me? How can you what? Once you start like that, you know you're in the flesh, 3-1-1. You are nowhere. These promotions come from the Lord. And when he promotes you, he has promoted you. Praise the Lord. And you just acknowledge that you are promoted and act accordingly. Amen? So, when they heard that David is king, they all show up. And then they have come to bring him down. Who does he think he is? He was here with us the other day. How can he, you know? And there are people whom you tell these things. Don't try so much to fit in people whom you used to have fun with. There will be others you can have a different kind of fun with. Amen? Who fit in your level. Otherwise, you lose it. You lose your level. And God is taking you higher. But you have to go with him. I remember sometime I was on a, I don't even know why I did it, but I was on a group of classmates at campus, people with whom I was were classmates at campus. And of course, some of them are in all sorts of places, what. And then I realized that I can't be with these people because they are relating with me at a level that I am not. Amen? So I pulled out of the group. Then one of them, who was a friend of mine, called and said, I hope we didn't offend you. Like, it's, we're just joking. Please come back and what. We don't, nothing here he said in bad spirit. So I actually went back on the group. But then after some time, I said, no, that's not, I wasn't offended. I just knew, I didn't leave because I was offended. I left because I knew these people are relating with me at a level that I am not. Praise the Lord. And if I accept them to relate with me like that, I will be pulling myself down and undermining what God is trying to do in my life. So I left the group and left so many. I mean, the truth is, I don't know what kind of group I would be. The only group I'm in is a group of my brothers and sisters and mother. But even there, they do not relate with me like that. They are giving me prayer requests and so on. Yes. Yes. And I know that I'm supposed to. But these are my actual siblings with whom I share parents. But if you do not acknowledge some things which God is doing, you actually keep yourself in the realm of the ordinary. And yet you are never... Go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. It says, then this Daniel distinguished himself. Now, the distinguishing anointing which pursues him. Praise the Lord. Where God creates a scenario where you are the answer. First of all, Daniel is among so many captives of Judah who were captured. So many of them. I think I read somewhere there were around 16,000. It's actually even in the Bible. 16,000 captives of Judah who were taken to Babylon. So now Daniel is among 16,000 people. But within a short time, they select them as now the wiser ones, now who are in the tutorship. Now he's already being distinguished. Now after some time, when the tutorship is finished, then God brings a dream to Nebuchadnezzar. The purpose was just to distinguish Daniel. Then God brings a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar, who usually would go and ask his people, tell the people his dream, and then tell them its interpretation. This time he changes his mind and says, I don't even want to tell you the dream. You tell it to me and also give me the interpretation. Then the guy said, but King, what you're asking us is very difficult. He said, I'm going to kill all of you. Huh? You've been lying to me. He says, I know you've consulted among yourselves to be lying to me, which means even all these interpretations you've been giving me are fake. Because if they are not fake, tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. Now God is setting up Daniel to stand there. Then Daniel comes, and now suddenly he's no longer an ordinary man, because even the king falls down before him after he's told him the dream and his interpretation. But then, this anointing throughout the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, after Nebuchadnezzar goes, you remember the story of Belteshazzar, who, you know, the hand on the wall. By that time, Daniel was no longer even serving in the king's palace. He had left and he had gone to be ordinary. But the anointing that distinguishes will never allow you to be what? Never. It cannot. So the king is there celebrating. Now, Belteshazzar did not even know about Daniel and the role he played in the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar. So the hand on the wall comes, and then somebody comes and tells, there is somebody of the captives of Judah. Then Daniel comes. They say, we'll make you the third in the kingdom, in power. He says, I don't want your third in the kingdom. But I'll tell you what it means. This is what it means. Now, after that, after the Belteshazzar, after the kingdom is split between the Medes and the Persians, Daniel ends up now with Darius, the Mede, the king of the Medes, because the kingdom was divided, Babylon, between Media and Persia. So he ends up with Darius, who was the king of the Mede. Now here, Darius comes and starts from verse 1 and says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Now imagine there is 120 satraps over the kingdom. Now you would think that is for Daniel to be, who was a captive of Judah, who is not even a Babylonian or a Median, to be one of the ministers, 120 ministers, that's good. Well, but the anointing that distinguishes made him to be one of the three governors who are over all the ministers. But then the anointing that distinguishes still does not want you to be one of three. Amen? It wants you to be one of one. So, then it says in verse 3 that then this Daniel distinguished himself above all the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now the anointing wants you to be on top, not to be one of three or one of 120. So he wants to make you on top of the realm. Go ahead. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now, we can even stop there. What I want to show you is that as soon as the anointing tries to distinguish you, the enemies show up and you end up in a den of lions. So the one goes with the other. But then it's setting you up for more victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I know for a fact throughout my life, people who have been destroyed one way or another because I was simply doing what I was called to do and they stand up against me. Some of them are big and I only get to know them I only get to know about it. For instance, recently, there was somebody big who was determined that I get arrested for fighting vaccination. I wish you knew what happened to that person. Because I was doing the work of God. Amen? And you stand up against me, you get hit. As well as others, by the way. Because I actually was doing the instruction of the Lord. Actually, specifically doing the instruction of God. Now, the enemies will always arise. But they get hit. Praise the Lord. So when you stand out and enemies come out, do not worry about them. Something is going to happen to them without you ever having an input. You don't have to have any input. Like God fights for you. As long as you know for me, I did not select myself. I did not distinguish myself. Eh? Praise the Lord. You go after you see these guys who set up a trap for the king so that they may charge Daniel. And now this is standard procedure for these things. You're standing up against somebody who is anointed and he's doing what he's supposed to do. You go ahead after Daniel came out of the den of lions, we see. I don't know what verse that is. Okay, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. He didn't live forever, he died. But my God, my God sent his angel and shut up the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now imagine the king was so happy because these guys had set him up to sign something. And once he signs it, he cannot reverse it. When he signed it, he did not know it was going to trap Daniel, because he liked Daniel. But now they knew what they were doing. So when the king signs it, he cannot reverse it. So now he was trapped also in his own thing. So now he's also praying that God saves Daniel. Now when the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Okay, let's go ahead. And the king gave command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. Can you imagine being married to fools, and then you end up like this? Huh? Because what did the wives do? Marry wisely. Okay, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they even came to the bottom of the den. Now, this is standard procedure. Praise the Lord. It will not be lions, you know. But the point is, when you're doing the thing and somebody comes up against you, they will suffer a fate that they do not know about. Now, these guys thought they were wise. I'm sure they knew. The minute the king signed it, they knew these guys. Daniel had two choices. Either he stops praying to God for 30 days, and they even made it easy for him. They did not say forever. Now, a typical Morocco today would say, Omoyo wa magezi. For these 30 days, you just do what? It's just 30 days. Praise the Lord. But the scripture says, when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, praise the Lord. There are certain things which, anyway, when you have the spirit of Daniel, where you know they pass something, and you know they've passed it, and then you say, you know, first go to where, when Daniel knew, because I'm ending there. When Daniel knew that they had signed the law. You know, the Bible does not have idol. So it says, because if he had not said that, some people would say, maybe Bambi Daniel did not know that they had signed the law. No, he did. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew. And he knew the consequences. And he knew the writing could not be undone. He knew. He was the governor. So he knew the way the kingdom ran. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, not even closed, open towards Jerusalem. What kind of man is this? He knows even if the king likes him, once the king signed the law, there is no going back. You have to go to the den of lions. But he said it's okay. Open towards Jerusalem. He knelt down his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Somebody say, as was his custom. Say it. Since early days. Some of you don't have any custom. You're just there, random. There is nothing that is your custom. Daniel, his custom was every day, you know, and that's the price, greatness. Some people say, I heard a man say that, what's the secret of you, a man of God? He said, I pray in tongues for at least 1 hour every day, no matter what. No compromise. That is his custom, as it was in the early days. Now, some of you are too random to have customs. Let's see how tomorrow starts. They say, what are you doing tomorrow? Let's see how the day goes. There is nothing. There is nothing that you hold on to. Let's see what, you know. Each day comes with its own, you know. So let's see how tomorrow goes. But Daniel, as was his custom, praise the Lord. Now, there are people here who have customs. Some people. Do you know, I learned when this guy went and bashed tithe. You know that guy? But you know, let me tell you something. Never, never underestimate the power of fellowship. By fellowship, I don't mean this. I mean, even this, okay? But I mean people whom you be with, who are like you. Now, I know that guy had kind of disconnected himself from a group of people who are part of his crowd. People like Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, Jesse Duplantis, and so on. He got excited about this grace thing, and he came out. And that is a fellowship that has been built over years as sons of Kenneth Hagin. Those guys have been friends. They even go on holiday together with their families. And that is a very, very powerful thing. You understand? Where you have a group of friends who, you know, it makes it very difficult for you to be deceived. Because when you come up with something weird, there are people who will tell you, man, you guy, are you okay? But when you isolate yourself, then you just wake up one day and say something which is completely off. Totally off. And it has been coming. Praise the Lord. So when I was telling you about the Lord isolating you, he does not isolate you from people who are like-minded, who are at your level of thinking. You have a group of people. I see people here now like these guys, the way they can be at office all the time. Like, you keep yourself in check. You understand? Because it's a powerful thing. You're discussing this and that. Now, when you start isolating yourself, then the guy comes up and just hammers some. And now you might, when the spirit of error takes over, you don't know what is next. The next thing, he might come and throw something very weird. Like when error creeps in, it starts slow, but you can end up coming with something very weird. And then you look and say, man, what happened to this guy? So if you have a group of people whom you be with and hang with, and just, you know, who you have the same beliefs and so on, value those fellowships. They are very powerful. Do not isolate yourself unless the Lord is isolating you, and even then for a short. And when he isolates you from a group of people, he brings you into another group. Amen? He's just isolating you from one level, and he will eventually lead you to a level where he has taken you, where now there are people of that level. Praise the Lord. But do not let, because somebody told me, I said, what? That guy? No, it's not possible. Not him. Man. And when I watched, I tried to watch it. I watched just the first few sentences. And it was so depressing. Praise the Lord. So I just switched off. I could not stand watching it. It was so sad. So sad. So I just decided to cheat it. I read a bit of what was said. And said, now here is another man who has welcomed brokenness. Don't play with the tithe, you guys. Don't play with what? You will see. You can get broke. How many of you had the Wednesday radio message? Let me tell you. What connects you to the flow of God is tithe. That's him. He's the one who put it there. He did not say one-fifth. Okay, you can give more, but after giving tithe. Now, what you give after that is up to you, but you have to give. Just do it. That is the fraction of God. I've seen so many people in these years, especially since this grace message came and what. So many people came with that revelation. You don't, whether you give or not, you're already blessed. Try it and see. Try it and show us the blessings. Because you see, there are theories. People like doctrines. You discuss. No. Try it and see. Let us see the what? The results. You will see the results will always be brokenness. 100%. Some people say, I've tried it, but I've not seen anything else. Just do it. Praise the Lord. Just what? But then also do it in knowledge. Know that, for instance, if you tithe in Watchman Ministries, you have to have the same level of prosperity that I do, or more. You see, there has to be something. You cannot be, I tithe, and there is nothing happening. There is no upward movement. Then I know there is something wrong. Amen? And usually, let me tell you what is wrong. Here is where many people miss it. People think that you tithe to the Watchman Ministries. No, you tithe to Joseph Kabuleta. Amen? God did not call the Watchman Ministries. God called me. And when God is giving instructions for this ministry, he does not give the admin. He gives me. I'm the one he knows. So the blessing is where? Is with me. Now if you're offended that I eat your money, you will never prosper. I'm telling you. And I know there is somebody who was one of our first. This one is Nyongeza, I had not planned to say it. Eh? There was somebody, but you have to warn you guys. Eh? There is somebody who was one of our first what? Partners. Eh? When I just started the radio show in 2014. But then I looked at her, and I wasn't seeing any progress. Eh? When she started giving me money, I was at a certain level. I moved high, and I was seeing she's at the same level. Then I tried to ask the Lord, because you know those things, I don't take them lightly. I cannot be there, and I know somebody is faithfully partnering, and I'm not seeing progress in their lives, and I just relax. No, I can't. I go and pray and say, Lord, what's happening with this person? How come I'm not seeing something? There has to be some. What is wrong? So I went and kind of prayed about it. Because, of course, I had very few partners. Eh? So I knew every one of them, and I knew how they were doing. Eh? So I kind of went and prayed about it. Then I realized later on that she was so uncomfortable with giving me a partnership, and I put it in my wallet and go and use it to buy fuel. She wanted to give it to the admin. Then I knew that's where she lost it. The admin will take some money, but only what I give her. Principally, it's for who? If you are uncomfortable about that, forget about prosperity in the kingdom. I'm telling you. You understand? Eh? God, the servant, the God, that is the key thing for God. Not the institution. If you are giving an institution, you will not prosper. I'm telling you. Now, I'll tell you this because you're here. Okay? And you brought yourselves. I did not bring you. Anyway, that's a joke. Eh? But here is the thing. Eh? Let me tell you something. Eh? When you learn the principle of the man of God eating your money, you will never be broke. Praise the Lord. I've told you the story. I've told you this. So, you know, some of you think I'm saying this because I want you to give me your money. Lekayo if you don't want. And let's see if I will not what? Prosper. No, but my point is this. When I learned this principle, I remember I had some kataka somewhere. I was broke. Broke debts of I don't know how much. What I've told you this story, but I'm going to tell it to you again. I had some thing somewhere. So I went and sold it. And then I got some money. Then I looked at the money, and the debts were even more than the money. Then I felt the Lord leading me to go and get 10 million shillings and take it to my father, Prophet Elvis. So it wasn't an easy decision, eh? Because even a car, rent, what, those things. Eh? Every time a phone call comes, it was tight. But that's what they call faith. You understand? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? It's what? It's not difficult. It's impossible. So I remember I went to the bank. The account had been empty for I don't know how many years. Now the first money that comes, I'm going to get all of it. Get all of it and not even eat it. I'm going to take it for what? For seed. So I even first called him. You remember a good African coffee, what? Eh? Yeah. So I called him and said, are you there? Somehow a part of me was hoping he says, I'm not coming today. Oh, man. I was actually like, now, or hoping that he does not even answer the call. But it rang only twice and still. Yes, Joseph, what's up? So I told him, are you going to be there? Then he said, I'm actually already here. Oh, man. So I got my car. I went inside. Got my car. Went to go to the money. Then went. Jumped on a border B. And went. Then I found him. When I reached there, I found him seated in his car. talking on phone. So I kind of, so I went, and then I opened, I said, hey, I want to tell you something. Then he said, I'll call you back. Then he hung up. Then I said, I brought you this seed. Then he looked at me and looked at the seed and laughed. And laughed. Then said, okay, I receive it. I said, okay. just like that. I receive it. Now let me tell you, man, God, that was the best thing I ever did. I'm telling you, in 3 months, 3 or 4 months, if I remember very well, all my debts were cleared. I had a car. I didn't have a car when I went. For the first time ever, I would sit and I have a lot of money. By a lot, I don't mean too much. A lot now is different from a lot then. But the idea of having 5 million shillings on me and there is nobody a manager, rent is fully paid, this is everything is paid, and I'm looking saying, hey, what is this money for? Like, for you. Like, it was even alien to be there and I have money and there is nobody who is, you know, I don't owe anybody money. It was a very, very weird feeling. I would even feel uncomfortable. That you mean everybody is paid? You even want to call the landlord and say, can I pay another 6 months? Because you are uncomfortable with what? With the money. And it came just like that. The level just changed and did not go back after that. Like, if now, here is the thing. I already knew what it means to give, and a man of God eats your money. So when I, and I'm telling you this, when I gave it to him, he got it. And I know what he takes off some, put it in the wallet. Of course, it was too much to fit in the wallet. Then that's all I need. If he eats it, by eating it, I mean giving it to, I mean using it for fuel, what, anything. Chiwede. Amen? There's a friend of mine who even came with his seed. Like, man of God, you know, he wanted a job. But man of God, to whatever, a prophet. But then we are seated. We had finished taking what? Food and what. So he had just paid the bill. Then somebody came and gave him a seed. Now this person was giving him his life. Then you know what prophet did? He just got, he says, hey, okay, and then gave it to the waiter as a tip. Okay, take this one also. Now, you come packaged. He even gives it even with the envelope to a waiter as a seed. But you know the funny thing? The next day, the guy got the job. Once it goes through his hands, or in this case, through my hands, once it goes through my hands, it doesn't matter what I give, do with it, what I use. Once it goes through my, the blessing is here. Now, do you still doubt that there is a blessing here? I'm telling you, so if you are uncomfortable and you want to give it, you will not prosper. Now, that was the beginning of my what? Of my different level, from glory to glory. So just be comfortable that this ministry is just here because of me. Amen? And the one you will start will be there because of who? Of you. That's how God does his things. And that's how it is. There is no Apostle Paul ministries. It's Apostle Paul, period. It's him. It's the person. God deals with people. The Watchman ministries is just there to facilitate the anointing that God has put on what? On the Watchman. So, now, if you really, really want to see prosperity, as I finish, if you really, really want to see prosperity, love it when the principle of unending. Now, what I did that day, which I didn't know, I was just led by the Lord, is that thing of Elijah and the widow.
the bread does not run out, and the what? And the oil does not fail. That is the principle. And it is there where you get what you have and take it to a man of God and say, let me first eat and get satisfied. That's why up to now the bread has not run out. Do you know what year that was? That was about 2000 and about 2013. Up to now the bread has not run out. Do I look like I have no bread? It is that simple. Like Elijah, first bring what you have. But I have only this for my, bring it. Then he eats it. Then it does not run out. Like that is a gift that keeps on giving. But now, the reason people do not, whatever, is they are comfortable giving the institution, and it's all in your heart. They are comfortable giving an institution. So when we got an administrator, that lady was one of our first partners. When I got an administrator, the first administrator, she said, now I will not be giving you my partnership, I will be giving it to the administrator. I said, okay. I can assure you I have not seen any progress all these years later. And she doesn't even partner any longer with me. But I have not. Because she has that mentality. Now the things which the secularism attacks are the things which work. Do you understand? Secularism, man, how can you give your man of God to buy a plane and what? The reason the devil attacks is because that's what works. Amen? If it did not work, nobody would care. That, yeah, you're giving that guy, you know, is what? You don't give him. Let us see where that is going to take you. That's why the devil, the secularism is against this principle. So much against it, opposed to it. That is your money. Why do you give it to somebody else? You're actually giving it to God. And the place where he has put his name. Amen? But God is not going to eat your money. I am going to. I'm saying that over and over again to make you comfortable with it. Because that's where the blessing is. Amen? Just be comfortable with it. And enjoy it. And love it. And now I know some people who have come to me and I know they give me, somebody gave me money, 10,000. And I knew that they had given me like their, it was 10,000. It was the hardest. I could see that, man, this is all I have, man. And I could see where it was coming from. And I know the solution. I get that very 10,000 note and send somebody to go and get for me cappuccino. And I know the miracle is going to come for that person immediately. I know. I even get the same note. I don't even delay. I say, let me spend it now on myself now. Because that's where the solution. Now, of course, other people. So, anyway, praise the Lord. So, don't be fooled by people who get excited about tithe is of God 100%. I explained it to it on radio. If you did not hear the radio message, go and hear it again. I explained it to it doctrinally, very well. Even a child can understand from the Bible doctrine properly. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, tithe, bring your tithe. If you are in this ministry, bring your tithe. And you will see. That is your connector to everything that the Lord is doing here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now today I'm just going to release this anointing that distinguishes, which the Lord has told me to release to you. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? It is going to change some of your lives. It's going to cut you off from your friends, some of you. But it is going to take you places. And you will not be ordinary again. And you will not be able to be ordinary again, even if you choose to be. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for it? Now stand up. That's what I'm going to do now. Just releasing this anointing, because he told me to release it. And after that, you just go and cultivate it. Do not resist the Spirit of God when he is trying to take you away from your comfort or from a place of your surroundings which you are comfortable with, and he's trying to take you someplace. Do not resist him, because that hand that is taking you away is taking you somewhere, and you will not arrive where you are going until you depart from where you are. Rika Mazantarabasa, just praying. Think about his love, think about his goodness.
think about His grace that sold us you. For the fathers of heaven above, so great is the treasure of my Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's
love. Just pray in tongues, everybody.
Think about His
grace.
Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace. Think about His grace.
Pray in tongues, please, everyone. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands, everybody. In the name of Jesus, Father, I know that each and every person here has a unique calling in this end time. And now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that even as you spoke to me about this anointing that distinguishes, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give a fresh anointing upon each and every person that is hearing here today, that lifts them up, that sets them apart, that distinguishes them and sets them on a path of greatness that you, O Lord, have ordered, a path of greatness that you have ordered, Father, for them. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that let everyone identify the area of their greatness, and may they not slip away from it, but may they know the area of their greatness and stand in it and excel at it. The spirit of leadership in the name of Jesus. The spirit of leadership in the name of Jesus. The spirit of entrepreneurship in the name of Jesus. Entrepreneurs being birthed here in the name of Jesus. Birthed in this place in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Somebody who is thinking of starting incredible, a hospital. Eh? Hospital, something to do with, something like that. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you bring it to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, you bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Ria masita lebe shokro mazon ko shakha mazita rokozon tor be shakha mazen tarabasin rika mazita lebe shokro mazita resha a school in the name of Jesus. Ministry, people who are thinking of starting ministry in Jesus' name, somebody who God has impressed on to start, God has impressed on you to start actually next month in August, but you are so convinced that you're not ready. But then this anointing is what makes you ready, not yourself. You will never be ready. It's this anointing that distinguishes. So step out in faith, believing, and the Lord is with you and moves to open doors that you thought were closed.
Rohozan Taklabashala Mazan Talabashok Rosin Talvesh, Rosi Telemeshok Romazon Toro Shakamazan, Sikil Morostotor with Shakamazan Talvesh Romazin, Rekamazitor with Shokromazin Talvesh Roma, Rekamazintor with Shokromazin Talvesh.
Now this glory that sits on you,
Ria Makastala Mashok Romazitor with Shalamazital, Rekamazital Veshot,
this glory that sits on you, Rekamazintala. Means you will never be ordinary. You will always get in a place and somehow you stand out. Say amen.
Amen.
You somehow stand out. You somehow stand out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman. And on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.